Day one. I will never forget my first breath. Gasping, heaving, delicious. When I opened my eyes, the colors of the world swarmed me, filling up all space with hues and objects for which I had no name. 3 seconds later, I passed out from sensory overload. Or at least, that is what Father says. He fixed me up, and when I woke the second time, the world became a more comprehensible place. The object hovering over me was a face. The circles within it were eyes, and the warm, wet drips leaking from them were tears. The crease across the bottom that widened under my gaze was a smile.
"You're alive,"
Father said. "Even now, hours later," he mutters it still. Day two. I lean back against the willow and hold out my arms, studying them under the waning sunlight. The thin red lines marking the sections of my body have faded to nearly nothing. All that remains are the many shades of my flesh and the tiny metal bolts fastening tail to spine, joint to wing, and neck to shoulder, along with a dull ache. Father, his silver hair flapping in the summer breeze, lays out logs and strange steel pipes in the field. They will be used for my training. He has not told me what I am preparing for, only that he will when I am ready. He waves when he notices me watching. I am sure I will be ready soon. Father is astonished at my progress. Yesterday, I mastered walking within 1 hour and running in 2, and now I can even jump to the lowest branch of the willow with ease. Father says his biggest coup is my speech. He managed to preserve that part of my brain, so I talk just as I did when I was human. Before. My only regret is he was not able to carry over my memories. I know nothing of who I was, nothing of my mother. Even my memories of Father are out of reach. But I do not need them to know how precious I am to him. Every time he looks at me, his face fills with surprise, as though I am some kind of miracle. I suppose I am. The maze of tones on my arms, legs, and torso fascinates me to no end, because my face is only one plain shade of porcelain. Father says I must look as human as possible from a distance, but no one will see my arms or legs under my cloak. When I bore up studying my arms, I tuck my long, dark locks behind my ears and curl my green tail up to get a better look. It has a 3-pronged point at the end. A barb, Father called it. He said I need to be careful not to swish too hard, or I might sting myself or him. I run a finger over the iridescent scales surrounding the hard brown spikes. I rather like the scales. They are lovely in the last beams of the day. I wonder what the barb does, and I tap it ever so gently. Day four. I sit by the fire in our little red cottage, pestering Father with questions while I toy with the end of my tail. He dances around the answers, just as my fingers dance around the stinging tip. I am much more cautious now. The venom puts people to sleep. The last time, I pricked my finger and did not wake up for half a day. A lesson well learned. "Why do you not have a tail, Father?" I ask. He gives me the same response he gives to all questions along these lines.
"I am not special like you, Chimera. Most people are not. You have a purpose. Your parts will aid you."
"How?" I frown at the barb, then shake my tail as if to make it frown back. Instead, the scales glitter in the firelight.
I will tell you when you are ready.
Frustration warms my face, but when he reaches over and places his hand against my cheek, I lean into the affectionate gesture. I am becoming fond of this place, with its worn wooden walls, high hedges, and rose garden. Even the tower beside the cottage feels like an old friend. Mostly, I cannot help but stare at Father, the man who made me, and memorize every line and plane of his face. That, too, is nearly as worn as the walls, but radiates a kindness, a warmth that even the fire cannot match.